This is Stuart Holman, and I've got a story to tell tonight. You know, something very unique happened to me in my life. As a lifelong guitar player and someone who thrives on music, I had a very special thing happen to me. I'd like to share it with you. I started playing the guitar when I was 13, and I'm coming up on 70 now, so it's been quite a while, and I've played all my life. And seriously, made my living that way for a number of years, etc. As a beginner, I drifted towards the music that I loved the most and wanted to emulate, and consequently spent a lot of time listening to Cincinnati's beloved Lonnie Mack. Lonnie's guitar style had such appeal to me. It had roots in country music, roots in gospel, roots in blues. And I loved everything about it, and it was the most exciting guitar playing I'd heard. And if you're not familiar with Lonnie's first album, The Wham of the Memphis Man, have a listen and you'll see what I mean. To this day, it's still extraordinary. In those days, a tape recorder was a luxury, and a reel-to-reel tape recorder I'm referring to, and we had very limited ways to learn. We didn't have YouTube and computers, and those guitar players from that era will remember that what we did was we had a little 45 record player, and we had a needle, and we would place the needle at what looked to be, let's say, 3/4 of an inch from the beginning of the tune and try to grab those notes off of that 45 record. We'd set the needle on, listen, set the needle off, try it, set the needle on, listen, take the needle off, try it again. That's the way we learned. And I spent a lot of time doing that needle jumping exercise and listening to Lonnie's playing and trying to emulate this guy. What a sound he had. Well, 3 or 4 years later, after chasing that sound and playing in some beginner bands around town and so forth. In high school, there were 4 of us, 2 guys and 2 girls that were friends, and we used to double date and hang out together. And one evening we were hanging out together and we were talking about Lonnie, and we all loved his music. And somebody said, oh, you know, he lives over in Lawrenceburg. And somebody else said, well, let's go find him. So we jumped in the car, as kids will do, honoring spontaneity, and drove to Lawrenceburg. Not having any idea where Lonnie might be, where he lived, we stopped at a convenient mart gas station out there and asked where Lonnie Mack lived. And the first person we asked said, well, he lives out on Lafferty Creek. And we asked where Lafferty Creek was and how do we get there, and got the directions, and off we went. So we land on this little, I believe it was a dirt road, gravel road, driving right alongside this creek, and they'd said it's a little white house on the right, you can't miss it. And we drove up there a couple of miles, and sure enough, here came a little white house, and we pulled into the drive, no car, and the house was dark, and it was dark, it was nighttime. So we went to the front door and looked in, and we could tell that this was the house where Lonnie Mack lived. We saw a guitar in there and some sound equipment, And we thought, well, we've driven all the way out here and wanted to make contact and didn't do it. So we decided we'd leave him a note. And in the back, we had a brown paper grocery bag, was the only thing we had to write on, and a pencil. And we said something to the effect of, hey, Lonnie, we're great fans and we love the way you play. And we came out to just to meet you. And since you're not here, here are some of our favorite songs. And we proceeded to, geez, we must have had 30 or 40 tunes written down on that paper bag. I would take a second and say there used to be a record store in Cincinnati called the Song Shop. And I would frequent the Song Shop, and I was looking for 45s by Lonnie Mack that were obscure, and I had plenty of them, including an instrumental version of I Left My Heart in San Francisco. I bet lots of you didn't know Lonnie had covered that tune. And so we're writing down things like I Left My Heart in San Francisco and all kinds of oblique and obscure Lonnie Mack tins. And well, like I say, we had 30 or 40 on our paper grocery bag. And we stuck that in his door and proceeded to leave. We're driving down the Lafferty Creek Road now, and lo and behold, we see some headlights coming our way. And we look, and there's a great big burly bearded guy behind the wheel. And we said, that's him. And he had his wife and kids in the front of the pickup. And we promptly turned around and followed them back to their house and introduced ourselves. And we were welcomed into their home. And we went in and stayed for a couple hours and chatted and played a little music. There was just one guitar there, but we had some fun. And at the time, I was playing with my friends Roger and Debbie Anderson in a group called Calico Rose and the Coryville Cowboys, which few of you will remember. But we played the Coryville circuit, if you will, and had quite a following, and our band was doing quite well. And within a short period of time, Lonnie contacted us and said that he was having a concert event out at the Friendship Music Park in conjunction with the National Gathering of the Muzzleloaders Association, which takes place in Friendship once or twice a year when the flea market goes on out there. I'm sure many of our listeners are familiar with that. And Lonnie invited our band to come out and play, which we ended up doing. It was a wonderful evening. They had a 4 foot by 4 foot iron kettle full of pinto beans and ham and lots of good eats. And I don't know, a couple hundred cars camped out there. And our band went on maybe 8 o'clock or something in the evening. And in the meantime, in talking with Lonnie and Lonnie's brother, who was the rhythm guitar player in the band, their bass player had not shown his face. And so I told Lonnie and his brother, I said, if he doesn't make it, I can cover on the bass. I know all the material and it would be no problem. Well, needless to say, that's what happened. And I borrowed the bass guitar from the bass player in our band, which I had previously sold to him. It used to be mine, so I was quite familiar with it. And we took the stage about 11 o'clock. And it was a burning experience. It was Lonnie on guitar and Bill McIntosh on rhythm guitar and Michael Durham, an incredible, incredible drummer, and myself on bass. And I found myself on stage having the opportunity to provide the back sound wall for my idol and my guitar idol. And there I was playing with him. And what an amazing night that was. We were still playing when the sun came up. And it was a great, great event. Rusty York was there and blew some harmonica and joined us on a few tunes. And after that evening, Lonnie offered me the job. And I wholeheartedly accepted. I had to tell my friends that I was making a turn in my career and was going to make this choice and was saddened about that, but so pleased to have the opportunity. And I was then on the way to a 3-year stint playing bass with Lonnie. And I guess my point, the whole point of the story is that what a unique experience to grow up idolizing and copping licks from a musician that you so revered. And then years later, things shift and there you are hanging out with him, playing in his band and kind of having the time of your life. So it's an experience that I cherish. And I hope something equally as exciting and fulfilling happens to all our listeners. Hope you enjoyed that little quip. This is Stuart Holman for Around Cincinnati.